Parker, August 19, 2007. We have been moving into the week, tomorrow being August 20th. I understand it's Ron Paul's birthday, but it also is the meeting in Canada for the SPP meeting, the Security Prosperity Partnership Act meeting in Canada, where the leaders of all the nations of that have financial and war interests are meeting, plus the president and the Canadian representative and the Mexican representative and all the people that are involved. And this is all part of the the process of consolidating in a proposal form the development of the North American continent trade agreement. And this is also going to be one of the points of interest in terms of consolidating the law issues that are involved, and where the United States of America, as we know it, will not be. The other development that came out of the United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia overturned a decision by a lower court which held that a terminally ill patient may not be denied access to potentially life-saving drugs. The Court of Appeals said that it would not create a constitutional right for patients to assume any level of risk without regarding to testing, which essentially sets the stage for the fact that there will life-saving drug. If a patient agrees to, remember what I talked about on many shows ago, about the consent forms that have changed and how they're under global control now, and the concept of global medicine and who lives and dies, based upon the concept of who will be able to receive an experimental drug if you approve it. And terminally ill patients, according to the federal court, do not have a constitutional right to be treated with any experimental drug, even if they're likely will be dead before the medicine is approved. And so this is part of the economy of scale that I keep talking about, which is part of the concept that 5% of the population is going to die anyway, so why should we be worried about it? And we've talked a lot about how that influences our particular life. We're going to have some very profound statements by an anti-fluoride activist today. And when we come back to the break, why the open call line is 800-313-9443.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill. It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Pathways, Dr. Wynn Parker, and we're rbn.org, republicbroadcasting.org, and our call number is 800-313-9443. And just before the break, I didn't have a chance to present a couple very quick many pieces of information to you, but I'm going to do it right now, and then we're going to introduce our guest, who is a anti-fluoride activist and has been at it for a long time, a very special person, and his name is Paul Conant. But first, I want to let the audience know about the West Virginia Supreme Court rejecting a doctrine completely, which is called the learned intermediary doctrine. Under the learned intermediary doctrine, a drug manufacturer, for instance, can advertise prescription drugs on a television, and the drug companies have always said, well, we don't have to tell the audience what the risks are as long as we disclose the risks to the doctors. Now, this case was Perez versus Wyeth Labs. And in June, and finally, they finally gave their opinion a few days ago, the Court of Appeals rejected the learned intermediary doctrine in its entirety on the ground that direct to consumer advertising made the rule outdated. So, in other words, a prescription drug manufacturer are legally obligated to disclose these dangers inherent in their products. In this opinion, fluoride was specifically exempted. And this brings us to what a theme on our show will be today. And one other point, there's a lot being talked about designer water from glaciers, and everyone in America is just so shocked that designer water sells for $1,000 a glass in some parts of the world. But the Japanese have been doing this for 4 years, and they lay claim to being able to mine glaciers in this on this earth to have glacier chips, which in some parts of the world can be in U.S. money. We're not talking about the yen in Japanese. We're talking about 1,000 yen. We're talking about $1,000. In other words, a swish wash drink, which has got some rum and whiskey out mix in Japan, and they take a little cream de menthe to make it similar to a grasshopper that we drink in America. The glass is the 7.5 ounces carry, and that's in English measurement, sells for $5,000 to drink that one glass of glacier water. So designer water from glaciers coming in, being sold in America, you ask yourself, well, as I was saying to my producer, when I talked on the national news about this, I didn't force the American public to spend close to $11 billion to buy a bottle of water when I first started. I didn't ask them to do that. The public figured out there was something wrong. But, of course, in bottled water, as I've always mentioned, you have 25% of ingredients that you're going to find from the tap water, which a lot of these bottled water companies we obtain their water. And in that water are a lot of products. And this is just a basic touching base of the depth that we're going to be into today on the Center for Disease Control and their activities. But we have very quickly, we're going to make sure that Paul Conant, are you online, Paul?
Yes, I am, Dr. Parker.
Yes. Good to be here. In terms, we're very honored to have you. You're the anti-fluoride activist, and have a pedigree of being an anti-fluoride activist for some time, and very honorably so. And if there was a medal for giving you a medal, like the CIA does, you know, for honorable duty, I know I'd be the first one in line to give it to you.
Well, I certainly don't need any medals. The prize for me would be to stop this silly practice of water fluoridation, which has been going on now for 60 years. I've actually only been involved with this 11 years, and I didn't want the issue. Dr. Parker, you've seen from my CV that my major activities, apart from teaching chemistry at university level, where I specialized in environmental chemistry and toxicology, my major interest for 23 years has been on waste management and trying to stop them building incinerators in this country and other countries, mm-hmm. and also promoting recycling. So that's been my, if you like, my number one hobby in addition to my teaching activities. So when 11 years ago my wife, Ellen, asked me to look into this issue, I rolled my eyes and did what many journalists do and many citizens do and many scientists do, and that's to say, hey, these people are crazy who oppose fluoridation. It's Flat Earth Society, it's Dr. Strangelove and all these other myths that are out there. And so I didn't want the issue because I was very, very busy with both teaching and the waste issue. But I decided to look into it, and I have been shocked and horrified and ashamed that I was one of those that thought the people opposed to fluoridation were a bunch of nitwits. And in actual fact, the science is well and truly on our side, so much so, in fact, that over the last few weeks, we've been able to get over 600 professionals, over 100 doctors, over 100 dentists, over 100 PhDs, and many other people, including workers at water departments, to sign a statement saying, calling for an end to water fluoridation. And that's quite amazing. It's on our webpage, fluorideaction.net. And now we're in the process of galvanizing people to send a message to Congress saying we support the professional statement call to end fluoridation, and we want a congressional hearing to examine this issue. We want a scientific response to the scientific arguments that have been presented. They can't do that, of course. The promoters of fluoridation cannot argue scientifically. They do not have the science on their side. And so what they do is to fall back on two things: to continue to give a list of endorsements of agencies that are supposed to endorse fluoridation. Many of those endorsements are well out of date by now. And secondly, to ridicule, to continue to ridicule the opponents. It's a classic propaganda ploy. But as I say, they cannot answer the science. The American Dental Association, the Center of Disease Control, the two big Tweedledum and Tweedledee of promotion of fluoridation in this country cannot defend this practice scientifically.
That's right. And the thing is, we're going to be going in depth on some of these issues. I also did not want the chloramine issue. I was also minding my own business. And that was about 4 years ago. And I just someone said, well, maybe the reason organ transplants are not taking it must be something in the water. It was a joke. And I said, oh, yeah, sure. So I went and did it, and that's where I discovered all of these chemicals. And of course, fluoride was one of the aspects on the list. And one of the things that got to me was the Manhattan Project.
Yep.
I have what you might call an umbilical cord through my heritage at the Manhattan Project. But the thing is that you start reading the Manhattan Project, and then all of the domino effects of decision processes that made the government what it is today. And there are a couple of things that I want to get into about that. And then, too, the denial that that the uranium compounds used in that process of fluoride on the fluoroxidic acids and the rest, to extract uranium on the uranium hexafluorides, which you would have some intimate knowledge with that, with your chemistry. How it's ignored. I mean, that is real world problems.
Yep.
And the fluoride, all based on the idea. I've talked about this many times on many shows. How in medicine you have a decision. Well, there's just the phrase is there isn't any substantial adverse effect to having a low dose of whatever chemical we're talking about. Which could be everything from organics to inorganics in the water that we have, or in fluoride. But at the same time, no one is taking in consideration the fact that, number one, we're drinking it, and number two, it gets into the human bloodstream. Okay?
Yep.
And so the in the process of the government agencies making their decisions and their peer review decisions, it comes down to the fact that we do not have an input as people into this process. When we come back to from the break, I would like you to give your views on what you want to put forth to the CDC ethics panel, and how we're going to try to put to the public a way the public has an input to this issue.
Sir?
Call in is 800-313-9443, and we'll see you at the end of the break.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103. And let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
This is Parker Pathways and Dr. Wynn Parker, and we have as our guest his professor, Paul Conant. Paul, I would like you to explain to the audience, for starters, so that they can understand your thinking, the difference between fluorine and fluoride.
Oh, good question. Yes, as a professor of chemistry, when I first got involved with this, and I was anxious to prove to my wife that this was not an issue, I thought that the citizens opposing fluoridation had confused fluorine with fluoride. Now, fluorine is the most active element in the periodic table. Extremely reactive, reacts with every other element except two noble gases, even reacts with asbestos. And if we were putting that in the drinking water, my goodness, it would be terrible. However, we're not doing that. We're putting a compound derived from fluorine, any fluoride, sodium fluoride, calcium fluoride, silicon fluorides, more about that in a moment. And so when these dissolve in water, they produce the free fluoride ion. So I, as a naive chemist back 11 years ago, my attitude was fluorine bad, but fluoride is benign, chemically not very reactive. It's like comparing salt, sodium chloride, with chlorine gas, and everybody knows that chlorine gas is very reactive and used in World War I and so on. However, it turns out that whilst fluoride is not chemically reactive, it's extremely active biologically. It strikes at the very heart of biology. It combines with complex, forms complex ions with many of the ions that we need in our bodies, like calcium and magnesium, manganese, and so on, many of the metal ions which work in enzymes. And it also complexes with toxic metals and gets them into places where they shouldn't go, like aluminium, getting it into the brain, lead into the bloodstream, and so on. And in addition to all of that, it also forms a hydrogen bond, And the whole of biology functions around the making and breaking of hydrogen bonds.
Would you like to use the word? Would you like to use the word ionic?
Yes, it's an ionic species, fluoride ion. Now, you were talking earlier on about low levels, and they make a big thing of that. They like to say that one part per million, that's the level we add fluoride ions to the water, is so teeny-weeny-weeny-weeny it couldn't hurt you. It's 1 cent in $10,000. It's 1 inch
right.
in 16 miles. Absolute nonsense. It's not small. Look at the level in mother's milk. The level in mother's milk is 0.004 parts per million. That means that when we add fluoride to the water, we're adding it at 250 times the level that nature put into mother's milk, what nature designed for the newborn baby. This in turn means that a bottle-fed baby is going to, and where the mother makes up the formula with tap water, is going to get 250 times more fluoride than nature intended. Now, nature is not stupid. If fluoride was necessary for anything, we would expect to find fluoride in mother's milk. The fact that it's not there probably tells us something else, that nature realized how nasty this species was biologically and deliberately kept it away from the newborn baby. Let me give you some science which suggests that that's not a wild idea, that nature deliberately kept it away from the newborn baby. We know now that fluoride accumulates in the pineal gland. We know that fluoride lowers the activity of the thyroid gland. We also have 40 animal studies which shows that fluoride damages the brain. We have now 18 human studies which shows that fluoride lowers IQ in children. And we also know that when a baby is born, its blood-brain barrier is not fully formed. So at that point, the fluoride has pretty good access to the brain. This is an absolutely ridiculous practice indeed, just taking that one effect alone. And we should remember that when this was started in 1945 and when it was endorsed by the U.S. Public Health Service in 1950, and every successive Surgeon General has waxed lyrical about its benefits ever since, they had no health studies. They had no health studies. Zilch, nada, none. The only studies that they had in 1950, when the U.S. Public Health Service, was the fact that they felt it was some benefit to teeth, and they knew that it caused dental fluorosis in teeth, a mottling and discoloration of the enamel. They didn't even finish those trials, which began in 1945. And going back to another point you raised earlier as far as the Manhattan Project was in at the very beginning with the trials on fluoride. The second trial, but both of them started in 1945, was in Newburgh with the control city Kingston in New York. Every step of that trial was overseen by the chief toxicologist of the Manhattan Project, a gentleman called Harold Hodge, who went on to become the number one toxicologist promoting fluoridation in the United States. So the Manhattan Project was extremely interested in this. Now, if people want to pursue this connection to the Manhattan Project, and incidentally, to all the other industries that were producing fluoride as a byproduct and were scared stiff of lawsuits, not only from farmers who were being polluted by fluoride, the animals damaged, but also their own workers in their aluminium pot rooms and so on. The industry was very concerned about that in 1945. If you want to read about this, there's a wonderful book called The Fluoride Deception by Chris Bryson. And I interviewed Chris on videotape a couple of years ago. And if people go to our webpage, go down to fluorideaction.net, go down to the fourth item, online videos, they can watch the fluoride deception.
Good. I think that would be a good reference, and I have something to say about that. We'll come back at the other end of the break with Professor Paul Conant, anti-fluoride activist.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism.
Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
This is Parker Pathways. Dr. Wynn Parker, August 19, 2007. This is a live show. And the call-in number is 800-313-9443. And all the affiliates and the people that are streamed in your languages, you may also, even in responses to any emails I have, we'll make sure that these questions are answered, but make sure they're tunneled to Professor Conant. Paul, I want to I got a couple comments that I want to make. You mentioned, was it Kehoe?
Yeah, can I just make one really important announcement? I keep referring to our website as fluorideaction.net, which is correct. However, you have to spell fluoride correctly. It's F-L-U, think of flu, F-L-U-O-R-I-D-E, action.net. One word, fluoride action, F-L-U. Now, if you put F-L-O, you get another site called FluorideAction.net. This is being captured by some enterprising person who has put some fluoride material on this site, but also a lot of commercial items. And you go from one of the top fluoride sites in the world, bar none, to something quite inferior, and obviously some enterprising person is making money out of it. So FluorideAction.net, spelled F-L-U-O. And so on, fluoride. Now, I, before the break, I was just pointing out that if you go to that fluorideaction.net, spell it right.
No, that's important.
The fourth item down is called online videos, and there's eight videos, all of which I think are fascinating. But the eighth one is the fluoride deception, and that's a 28-minute interview
yes.
I had with Chris Bryson.
Yeah, I'm very interested in your personal reaction to that interview.
Yeah, well, Chris is a marvelous guy. I mean, he spent 10 years writing this book, 100 pages of documentation. I mean, it's a thorough, thorough book indeed, and a really great book. And sociology professors have said that this is use this in classes because it is so meticulously researched. So a very, very impressive guy. But I think we've done a service here because you can get the gist, the thrust of this book in 28 minutes by watching this videotape,
mm-hmm.
a very graphic account
mm-hmm.
of the things. And then if you have any questions about the documentation, then you can go to the paper. It's now out in paperback book, and it's a very, very good read.
Mm-hmm.
So I thoroughly, thoroughly recommend that. And
I totally agree with you for another reason. Just to go back on something that on Cahill, you know, one of the things about that, you know, a lot of his data, because I remember a long time ago when I read some of the data, but I didn't realize how important it was. At the time, this was a long, long time ago, but a lot of his data, here we are just between you and I talking on air, and the audience is hearing us, but I didn't think his data was up to snuff.
No. Well, first of all, you probably mentioned this, but let me underline this. Robert Kehoe was, in fact, with the Kettering Institute.
That's right. That's why I know about him, because I was in cancer research, and that's
okay. Well,
at the
Kettering Institute, which was an industry-funded institute, and what he did is what industry typically does. When you've got a pollutant of concern that might lead to lawsuits, as in fact fluoride has and continues to do, you want more scientific evidence than your opponents. The lawyers, for example, need a lot of information. They want to have more information than their opponents. And so that basically what Kehoe was doing was produce this massive database for the use by industry. What is also interesting, and I think a real shocker, is in these early days, there was collusion. There was collusion between the U.S. government, the U.S. Public Health Service, and the Fluorine Lawyers Association. Now, anybody, any objective outsider must ask the question, why on earth is the U.S. Public Health Service communicating with and dealing with the Fluorine Lawyers Association? And the Fluorine Lawyers Association, their job, of course, was to defend companies against lawsuits on fluoride. So why were they hand in glove with the U.S. government? Obviously, these are the kind of serious questions about the early history of fluoridation that Christopher Bryson raises.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I read the full transcript of the Reynolds Metals Company versus Paul Martin.
Oh, yes.
And this was in the U.S. Court of Appeals on the Ninth Circuit in San Francisco. The case number is 14990. And the transcript of this whole case is in 6 volumes. When you dig into that, you see what you're exposing to our audience. One of the nexus of all of the legal thoughts in terms of how the lawyers tried to defend even a more sinister plot, in my opinion.
Yep.
This is something that you can comment if you like. I know what the three plots are,
yeah.
But I want you to talk about it.
Well, you know, Dr. Parker, I think before I do that, I don't want to get into too much of why this happened. I think we'll only find we really don't know, I think, why all of this nonsense happened. I think the most important thing for listeners is to understand that this whole practice is so stupid, and you can easily show it's stupid using their own words. Let's take the by the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, which is the number one promoter of fluoridation in the United States today. They have conceded, first in 1999 and then again in 2001, that fluoride works topically, not systemically. that they used to think for years that the kid had to swallow it. And that's why doctors gave tablets to pregnant women and to the babies drops before their teeth had erupted, because they wanted to build up the fluoride in the baby's tooth enamel so it would resist tooth decay. Whoops, they said a couple of years ago. No, that's not how it works at all. It works on the outside of the tooth. It's a topical effect, not a systemic effect. Now, please, use your common sense. If this works on the outside of the tooth, why on earth are we swallowing it? Why on earth are we putting it into the water, which makes swallowing it inevitable, unavoidable? I mean, it's just there and there. It's a stupid practice. And then when you know that it is 250 times the level than in mother's milk, and you also know that the American Dental Association is now advising parents, but not very vocally, that they shouldn't use fluoridated tap water to make up formula. And then when we also discover that the evidence of it actually reducing tooth decay, which is not surprising, ingested fluoride, because we know it works topically, and it's not surprising then that there's a whole mass of literature from 1980 that can find little or no difference in tooth decay in children, whether they live in fluoridated communities or non-fluoridated communities, whether they live in fluoridated countries or non-fluoridated countries. There is practically no difference. So if the darn thing doesn't work, why on earth would you have all these health risks? Then you throw in that the very distinguished National Research Council, which is the research arm of the National Academy of Sciences, spent 3.5 years to produce a 507-page report with 1,000 references plus, looking at the toxicity of fluoride. And if you read that report, clearly there are many, many health risks, especially for high water drinkers, especially for people with impaired kidney function, especially people with poor nutrition, especially with people with borderline iodine deficiency. There are many people who are vulnerable to fluoride's toxic effects. This is loud and clear in this National Research Council report, mm-hmm. and within six days,
this is why
the Center of Disease Control said this report is completely consistent with our practice of promoting fluoridation.
This is why I'm interested in the history of this, because it focuses into your premises that you have about what you want to submit to the CDC ethics panel.
Yes. Oh, yes. Well, there's two things going on right now. Actually, three things. One, we are asking professionals around the world to sign this professional statement saying we call for an end to fluoridation worldwide. We call for governments to have hearings to re-examine the evidence. And this was based upon 8 developments in the last few years, largely since the year 2000. And I've mentioned some of those already, the National Research Council report, the concession that it's topical. I haven't mentioned the fact that dental fluorosis is now an epidemic in this country, affecting at least one-third of American children, or overall, and in fluoridated communities up to 40%. So the professional statement goes through all the science and says, stop this nonsense. The second thing is we have an online petition message to Congress, which we're inviting citizens to sign. When they sign that, they're saying we support the professionals' call for an end to water fluoridation, and we want the U.S. Congress to have hearings. And when you sign that, your message goes to your two senators, to your two U.S. senators and your U.S. representative. So this is a way of getting your message immediately to Congress. And if you're outside the United States, you can still sign it, because we're interested in building up those numbers. At the beginning of the program, we had 385 people had signed this statement, and Dr. Wynn Barker, I'll tell you how many we got at the end of this program. So I hope people go to Fluoride Action Net and sign that petition. The third thing, which you've just mentioned, is that parallel to that, the Lilly Center from Georgia, this is a private company which specializes in public health training, has filed ethics charges to the CDC, particularly the Oral Health Division. And the charge is this: the Oral Health Division, which is promoting fluoridation, is not telling the public about these negative effects. It's not warning these vulnerable subgroups. It's not warning, for example, that minorities are more vulnerable to dental fluorosis. The dental fluorosis rates, for example, in black children is usually higher than in white children. So they are obviously more vulnerable. People with borderline iodine deficiency are definitely vulnerable to fluoride. And even though that's down in black and white, the Center of Disease Control is continuing to promote fluoridation as if nothing had happened. It's not giving these warnings to the public. And even worse, I mean, it continues to peddle the most outrageous propaganda, which would make Goebbels blush. So the ethics charges have been filed against them. And I'm asking some of the professionals who signed our statement to write to Dr. Macklin, who is in charge of the ethics committee, to make sure that this is not buried under the carpet, that they seriously look at this, the Center of Disease Control. My own view is that the Oral Health Division is a power unto itself. I don't think it's about a two dozen people. Most of them are dentally trained and not very well trained for looking at health effects. I don't think there's anybody else at the Center of Disease Control overlooking their activity. Their attitude is that this is about teeth, and let them get on with it. But of course, as we've made very clear, fluoride not only impacts teeth, but it impacts bones. 50% of all the fluoride you take in each day accumulates in your bones and other calcifying tissues. So we need much more expertise than just the limited expertise of fluoride. At the very least, the CDC Oral Health Division should be forced to produce the scientific reasoning, hopefully a written report, which enabled them, within 6 days of the National Research Council's publication of their 500-page report, within 6 days, on their website, the CDC said, this report is consistent with our promotion of fluoridation as being safe and effective at one part per million. That is utterly outrageous. It's not scientific, and as such, it's totally unethical.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that we're going to get to in the next hour, but I want to bring this in because this is the basis of fluoride in drinking water in rat experiments showed many cognitive defects, and when I found the peer review research that had been up to 1998 concerning chlorine and chloramides and how they affected the neurologic and neurotoxic effect of rats, and then of course it went into human studies. In fact, I was the one that exposed the Camp Lejeune experiment, where wives of Marines were aborting and having other problems over many years from a direct dosage relationships of chloramine. And the fact is, and that's in case now, and of course it's the Senate subcommittee is going to review that case and see, and they're just appalled that the Defense Department would do that. Along with that was the fluoride was not mentioned as a separate element in that case, but it was used. And when you look at the physical changes that occur with people with the osteoporosis, and particularly the liver damage and the rashes that are on film, you see that not only, and here's the point, when you do that, you have intent. And under an ethics situation, this is unethical what has happened in terms of what's been put in our water, and no matter which element you want to say it is. The problem is, in law, you don't have any law that covers your ethical decisions. And the reason I'm not only going to sign your petition, but I'm going to go much further than that, I'll tell you in the next hour. But the thing is, where we're at here is in terms of the ethics situation needs to be presented, because all these elements accumulate in the body. And the government has put out a directive in terms of saying, well, things don't accumulate. There's no evidence that things bioaccumulate in the body. Well, when they say that, they're ignoring the basic tenet of toxicology.
Yep.
They're ignoring the basic tenet of absorption of metabolites in the body. They're ignoring in real world terms the central nervous system damage that occurs with fluoride and occurs with these other elements. Yep. So the reason I'm very supportive of several statements in the CDC ethics panel situation, it says you have a justified fluorination in terms that misled Americans into confusing the fundamental concepts of concentration versus dose.
Oh, absolutely.
And that is the key. That's the key point, because it led the citizens to believe that low concentration of fluoride in the water cannot result in a harmful dose of the chemical, regardless of the volume of water consumed and the other sources of fluoride.
Now, absolutely.
And it says, in this context, CDC has failed to appropriately disclose that fluoride can accumulate harmfully in the body over time.
Yep.
We'll come back at the end of the break, and we're going to pursue this on the next hour.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
This is Parker Pathways. Dr. Wynn Parker. And this is August 19th, 2007. We have as our guest Professor Conant. And we have 5 minutes left on this particular hour, and we're going to go into the next hour to discuss more of the CDC ethics panel and some other issues related to it. What is your view on why the public doesn't seem to openly respond in a vigorous way on this subject.
Well, I think there's several reasons. One, it's been going on for a long time. Two, I think they've been largely brainwashed by actually fluoridated toothpaste. I think everybody on Earth has seen fluoride toothpaste commercials, and they've generally got the idea that fluoride is good for your teeth, and if it's good for your teeth, etc., why would the government do this to us if it hurt us? And this, we don't see people dropping down dead in the streets. What they don't realize is that the U.S. government has never done systematic studies to pursue if fluoride is causing, for instance, hypothyroidism, even though fluoride was used to lower thyroid activity as a drug in Europe. It's never pursued the possible and likely connection between fluoride and arthritis, even though 68 million people have arthritis in this country. The first effects of fluoride damage to the bone are identical to arthritis. And they're not pursuing many other scientific findings, like the fluoride accumulates in the pineal gland. The fact that there are these 18 studies now which shows that fluoride lowers IQ. There's some pretty basic things that they've never done. They've never, for example, tracked the levels of fluoride in bones. We should have millions of data points now from autopsies and accidents and so on. We should have millions of data points of how much fluoride accumulates in people's bones as a function of how long they've lived in a fluoridated community, etc., etc., etc. We should have millions. We have less than 200. Less than 200 bone levels of fluoride after 60 years. Another thing that we know that, and there's no argument about this because this is where the whole thing started. Fluoride causes dental fluorosis. This is a mottling of the enamel, which ranges from little white specks right the way through to the whole surface of the tooth enamel affected, and discoloration and even pitting. Now, we've known that. We know that the severity of dental fluorosis is directly related to how much exposure the child has had to fluoride before their teeth have erupted. And yet, this has never been used as a biomarker in the United States to determine if any health effects in children, of which there may be many, like earlier...
that's right.
And it's never been used as a biomarker. It's there screaming at you. In other words, let's take all the things which we people talk about. Attention deficit syndrome, lower IQ, concentration in class, earlier onset of puberty, thyroid function, all these things which might be affecting children right now. We could be studying those to see if there's any relationship between those effects, including bone fractures, with the severity of dental fluorosis in those children. Remembering that one-third of our kids now have dental fluorosis because they're getting too much fluoride. Not been done. So when people turn around and say, well, I don't see any problems, of course you don't know. You don't know if your children have had 5 IQ points shaved off their IQ level because they've been exposed to fluoridated water. We just don't know. They're flying blind. It's totally irresponsible. And, you know, you were mentioning ethics before. Right now, the ethics charge against the CDC is very current. It is, you are not telling the public about the dangers presented in the NRC report. You are not telling them that in your dental fluorosis figures, that black kids are impacted more than white kids. You're not telling them that. But the overall ethics charge on fluoridation is that we're allowing local governments to do to the whole community what an individual doctor cannot do to an individual patient.
That's right.
Namely,